Let us pray. Holy and loving God, thank you for your word that truly is the bread for our lives. May we hear it and be challenged by it, but may we also hear it and hear the voice of your love and your care in it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Probably most of you, like me, loved to listen to Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes. He died last November at the age of 92. And in April of 1976, he did an extended segment on 60 Minutes entitled, Mr. Rooney Goes to Dinner. An excerpt from that segment went as follows. I'm seated at a table at the most expensive restaurant in the United States, the Palace in New York City. Two of us just dined here. You don't eat at the Palace, you dine. I have the check brought on a silver platter. For two people, dinner, $179.35. Now, a lot of expensive restaurants are sneaky with their checks. But there's nothing sneaky about the Palace. They lay it right on the line. Two dinners, $100. Two cocktails, $5 each for $10. A bottle of wine, $25. Now, that was the second cheapest bottle they had. Tax. And all of that came to $145.80, plus 23% for service. That's $33.53 for tips, for a total of $179.35. Now, some of you will say, well, what's so expensive about that? I paid close to that in a couple of meals that I've had with my wife. But that was 1976. I went online to an inflation thing that you can use. And in 2012 dollars today, that meal would cost $729.27. That's an awful lot of money for something that's going to have to be replaced in 12 to 24 hours. And if I were to spend that kind of money, I would want to spend it on something that's going to last a little longer than 12 to 24 hours. Today, as we continue to look at the Lord's Prayer as a guide for untying the knots of our lives, we look at the portion that says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, what does it mean to say to God, give? Obviously, it does not mean something that we have to pay a lot of money for, especially $729. But generally, no one gives something for nothing. And so we have to ask, as we reflect on that word, give, what is the cost of my daily bread? So often we've heard people say, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. It probably is. Others say, you don't get something for nothing. And yet the term give seems to imply that God does give something for nothing. But I wonder how many of us pray this petition of the prayer wondering what it's going to cost us. And I'll wager, not many of us. And I think we find the cost of our daily bread in two words, hour and daily. And we will begin with the second word first, daily. In our Exodus passage, we hear the story of God giving the manna and quail to the Israelites. We note that many today might call the seeming inefficiency of God in requiring the people to gather only for the day and no more. Well, it will spoil if it's held over, except for the bread you gather on Friday, because you're gathering also for Saturday. Now, this certainly goes against our beloved adages such as, save for a rainy day, or a penny saved is a penny earned, and all those other maxims that we learned when we were growing up. Plan to put away for tomorrow. It's important at this point to remember, though, the context of this story. The people have left Egypt. They're on their way to Sinai, and they're wandering in the wilderness in between. And as God prepares to make a covenant with them, He wants them to not only understand that they must trust God. I mean, we can imagine that they sat in their villages in Egypt talking about how God was going to free them, how God was going to lead them to a land of milk and honey, and they would never have to work again. That's often how people who are oppressed see their bondage from, or their freedom from bondage. So, not only must they trust God, but recognize that there's work to be done. God had other ideas. It was important for them to go out daily and gather food. Daily, it would remind them not only would God provide for them, but it wasn't going to be handed to them on a silver platter. God expects us to participate in the work of creation, creating lives for ourselves, creating lives for other people. God expects us to do something for our daily bread. I recall a number of years ago, and I've shared this with you before, of a sign in someone's office that said, pray to God, but row towards shore. We can pray to God to save us from isolation, from fears, from insecurities, from trials, from being stranded in the middle of a lake. But God's response may and often does require us to row towards shore. God's response may be to give us the strength to row. What I'm trying to say is God never promised to drop all that we need in our laps. And yet, I think there are many in who profess to be Christians who believe that that's exactly what God has promised. Pray and you'll get this. Rather, we have to go out daily and do what we need to do. What we are called to do. We have to put our sense in the daily bread. Or in for the daily bread. Pray to God, but row towards shore. That's not a bad saying, by the way, for the refrigerator door. Unless yours is like ours and you can't stick anything to it. Or magnets don't stick to it. This then brings us to the other word. Our. Give us this day our daily bread. As in the beginning when we pray, Our Father. Our reminds us of the corporate nature of prayer and of God. It's not just about us. It's not, give me my daily bread. It's our daily bread. In a work entitled Work, Participation in Creation, Sister Joan Chittister, whom I've had the opportunity to hear a number of times at Chautauqua over the years, shares the following story from the sayings of the Desert Fathers and Mothers. One day, a holy monastic was going to town to sell some articles in order to buy food to live on. A paralytic on the side of the road said, Where are you going, teacher? And when the monastic said he was going to town, the paralytic said, Would you do me the favor of carrying me with you? So the teacher carried the paralytic into town. Then the paralytic said, You can just put me down where you sell your wares. And the teacher did so. When the monastic sold an article, the paralytic said, What did you sell it for? And when the monastic stayed at the place, the paralytic said, "Will you buy me a cake with that?" And the teacher did so. Now remember, he's selling this stuff so he can buy food for himself. And when the selling was over, the paralytic said, "Now will you do me the favor of carrying me back to the place where you found me?" Once more, the teacher did so. When they arrived at the palace where the teacher had found the paralyzed beggar, the paralytic said, "You are filled with divine blessings in heaven and on earth," and disappeared. Then the monastic realized that the paralytic had really been an angel, sent to try both the spirit and the flesh. Embedded in that story is the right of the wounded of society to make themselves a part of our world and to share in the fruits and labors and our prayers. We are the keepers of our brothers and sisters. The word "our" recognizes this fact, and it calls on God not only to give us our bread, but also to all people, even those we might not deem worthy. "Give us this day our daily bread" is our request to God to give the world that which creates and makes for light and life rather than darkness and destruction. This phrase is an intercessory prayer. Prayer for others as well as ourselves. Intercessory means we pray for God to intercede on the behalf of someone else. Douglas Steer writes concerning this kind of prayer, "Whether we intend it or not, to pray for another is to be involved in his or her life." You ever thought of prayer that way? Intended to be involved in his or her life. For one who wants to avoid being drawn into costly involvement, intercessory prayer is to be shunned like the plague. The old Quaker who prayed for health and strength of his young farmer's son-in-law, whose farmyard was always wet and soggy, found himself drawn to send a pair of rubber boots for his protection. Less obvious physical involvement, if it is called for, may consist of time for visits, gifts of food, books, letters, and often many forms of support, not to mention psychological support. While "give us this day our daily bread" might not seem like it fits our understanding of intercessory prayer, in that that kind of prayer generally names a specific group or individual for God to intercede on their behalf. But this "give us this day our daily bread" is intercessory prayer on the broadest of the general terms for all of us. And it's precisely this interpretation that has led many, including myself, to say that the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer for passive Christians. It expects much of the person praying. It's a radical, active prayer. When you pray it, the old adage must certainly be in the forefront of your mind: be careful what you pray for. You may get it. And you may have to make a major commitment to making it happen. It's not going to cost us $729 for our daily bread. But it is costly. But you know, when you pay the price, it tastes awfully good. It's the bread that can be enjoyed at the same way, at the same time, and loosen up and untie a few knots in our lives. It is bread that when enjoyed can loosen the knots that bind us.
in darkness and isolation. May God bless you and me with His bread always.